Well, Crossing, it is so good to be back with you. Thank you for welcoming me to be here with you today. I always love coming, and I want to especially say to those of us here at this campus and to Mid Rivers and to Fenton and to Grants Trail, those of you that are watching online, as well as those of you that are in Overflow. So all the people we say hello to right now. And my name is Jeannie Stevens, as Tim said, and it is so good to be with you. My husband Jarrett and I have been coming to the Crossing for a number of years now, and we just love coming here. It's like home away from home for us, and so thank you for welcoming us, and it is always special. So often, people will come up to us at our church in Chicago and say, "Hi, I'm from the Crossing," and so we just feel this beautiful kinship with all of you, and I'm so glad that over the years, you all have really learned that it is good to save the best for last. It's just, it's a good practice, and so we can just keep that between ourselves. You never need to tell Jarrett that when he's here, but I am so grateful to come and to be with you this weekend, and I'm excited to open God's Word, as obviously God's Word is our ultimate authority that we sit under and we learn from, and I'm excited to dive into His Word this morning and look at what does it mean for us to be people that are brave. What does it mean for us to live out lives of courage? And I had my own little situation this last week where I had to pull up some bravery in my life. I brought along a picture of my family. This is obviously Jarrett, who was with you, but our two kids, Elijah, who is 12, and Gigi, who is 10, and our son Elijah was invited this last year by his teacher to be a part of a STEM camp. It's for science, technology, engineering, and math. Translation, smart kids. Smart kids camp. And the other translation is that I have never been invited to any kind of camp like this in my life. So he was invited to go and be a part of this camp, and it was at Loyola University, which is downtown Chicago. And so I took my 12-year-old last Sunday to go and live on a college campus, and I moved him into a dorm room and just kind of said, "Okay, good luck, goodbye." And it required a bit of bravery for me, you know, because he was going to live there on a college campus, and he didn't know anybody, didn't know any of the teachers, you know. The only kid that he knew was his roommate, because they went to the same school with one another. And so it was a moment of bravery for me as a mom to just kind of say, "Okay, go, fly, have fun," you know. And we picked him up on Friday, and I was so excited to see him, and I was like, "Buddy, how did it go? You know, how was the camp?" He's like, "Mom, I just lived my best week ever." I was like, "Wow, that is awesome. Your best week ever? Like, that is really cool. Like, what made it so good?" You know, and I thought he was going to tell me that he, like, figured out how to chart a path to Mars or something, or, you know, like, he built a robot that's going to change the world or something. You know, and he's like, "Mom, I made so many friends, and one of the things that I most loved and what made it the best week ever is every time we went to the cafeteria, we tried a new concoction of food." And I was like, "Well, I love that you're exploring your palate. What do you mean by this, right?" And he's like, "Well, you know, like for breakfast, like for example, like we had cereal with Diet Coke." And I was like, "So you had a bowl of cereal and a glass of Diet Coke?" He's like, "No, we poured the Diet Coke on the cereal," right? You know, and I'm like, that would make the best week ever, right? You know, and so he's going through all these different things as to why it was such a great week. But what I loved was he said, "I made so many friends. And one of the things that I took away, Mom, is that I felt like I could do anything." And as a parent, don't you love when you see your kids optimistic? Don't you love when you see your kids believing that anything is possible? How many of you would say that you're probably an optimist? You tend to stray towards being an optimist. Yeah, the rest of you, we call you realists. We call you realists. The world has another name for you, but that's not a nice name, so we call you realists. And I just want to say to you, us optimists, we don't say this too often, but thank you. Thank you, because if it weren't for you, we would just be floating off into the clouds somewhere. And so we are grateful. We are grateful for the realists among us. But my son is an optimist, and I think part of the reason he's an optimist is I am also an optimist. And my optimism is at an all-time high, usually the night before a day. And what I mean by that is when I'm going to bed at night and I'm thinking about the next day to come, I have so many grand visions about what it's going to be. I usually set my alarm for about 45 minutes earlier than I'm actually going to get up because I will hit the snooze button multiple times. But at night, you know, I'm just optimistic. It's going to be 5 a.m., of course. I think about the exercise class that I'm going to take, and then I decide the night before, you know, and not only that, I'm going to run 2 or 3 miles after the class, right? I think about what my food is going to be like for the day, right? And I meal plan as I'm getting ready for the next day, and I just think, I'm going to eat kale all day long. Just straight kale, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Maybe a little bit of chicken, you know, some protein in there, right? But we can be so optimistic, and it usually does carry over into the morning as I'm starting the day, you know, before the day really has begun. And I don't know, how many of you like to listen to music in the morning? I love listening to music as I'm getting ready. And over the years, as I've been listening to music in the morning and getting ready, I just feel like one of the ways that I most best go into my day is when I participate, you know, right? You don't just listen to the music, but you start singing along. And over the years, my bathroom has become an incredible stage as I have these concerts in the morning, right? You know, and so over the years, it was like maybe a curling iron or something like that, then a hairbrush. In fact, about a year or so ago, I felt like I needed to up the game, and I went out and bought a gold hairbrush. Because it's ultimately a microphone, right? You know? And so I have these awesome concerts in my bathroom in the morning, you know, and my Carrie Underwood show, it's incredible. It brings tears, really, to only my eyes. But it's a great show. My Hamilton show right now, it's incredible, really, really incredible. My Taylor Swift show, a lot of fun, you know, a lot of energy and that kind of thing. But my favorite show to perform right now, my favorite concert, actually comes out of a movie that came out earlier this year, The Greatest Showman. How many of you have seen this movie? Such a great, yes, I love it. Church, we clap for movies, sometimes not for the Lord. It is a great movie, and I loved it. And there is this song in it called This Is Me. And when that song comes on, I mean, my show, my concert is just unbelievable. You can't not sing to this show, right? You know, it's just like, I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Calling out to Jared and the kids to be my choir, to come into the bathroom, and they haven't come. But it's amazing to me how I can be in my bathroom singing at the top of my lungs, believing I'm going to have the best day ever. And then I go into my life. And maybe it's just traffic, right? Or I open up my email and I see all the things that have come in that are now, you know, needing my attention. Or I find out somebody is struggling or something's going on or there's a challenge and somehow I have this moment where, you know, I walk out of this is me moment to I don't even know how to be me. And maybe you experience some of the same things, and you can start your day so optimistic and so hopeful, believing you can be brave through anything, right? And then life happens. We experience disappointment either with ourselves or with others. Maybe something that we desired doesn't happen. The bottom drops out in a way that we didn't see it coming. In fact, just even this past week, as I was looking throughout my last 7 days and seeing how I can go from my hairbrush concerts to this hesitant crawl space in my heart and my mind, and I forget that Jesus has deposited bravery inside of me, and I forget how to actually live as though I am brave. And I bet you've been there as well. In fact, I imagine you're probably looking out at your terrain of life right now. And there may be a mountain, there may be a challenge, there may be something as you're looking out into your own personal future. and you think, I'm not sure how I'm going to have the bravery that is needed to walk through that. You know, as a pastor, so often when I meet with people and we connect and they're asking for prayer or they're wanting counseling or we're talking about what's going on in their life, so often, and I have this same desire, oftentimes people will say when I ask them, you know, what is it that you most desire from the Lord? Oftentimes people will say, I just want clarity. I just want clarity. I just want to know. I just want to know, like, is God going to have me turn right, or is he going to have me turn left, or is he going to clear up this path? I just want clarity. I just want clarity. And, you know, I have prayed for that same thing. I've said, God, I just wish I knew. I just wish I understood. In fact, even as I was preparing for this message, I felt God kind of lean into me a bit and say, Jeannie, is the thing that you most want clarity, or is it courage? Do you want clarity from me, or do you want courage from me? Because clarity is wanting to see that the path is clear, right? But courage is having the strength to walk whatever path is in front of us. And, you know, as I felt God asking me that question, I was like, well, Lord, if I'm going to be honest with you, I would like both. If you're handing things out, I would like both clarity and courage in my life. I would like to know and understand the path, and I would like to have the courage to walk the path. But see, I find that oftentimes as followers of Jesus, our prayers tend to stray towards asking for clarity more than we ask for courage. And I wonder if all of our prayers for clarity are shrouded in a quiet fear of not wanting to fail, of not wanting to make the wrong decision, of not wanting to break some imaginary rule that we think is out there. And we start holding out for this perfection, so we pray for clarity more than we pray or practice the courage that God has already placed inside of us. And what I know about you and what I know about myself is that whether you see yourself as a brave person or not, you probably desire to be brave. You desire to be brave because I desire to be brave. But as I've walked with Jesus over the years, I have found that there is no special pill that you can take for courage. There is no class, and you walk through, you know, a certain amount of steps, and then you are automatically brave. The only way to become brave is to actually be brave every day. The only way to become brave is to be brave every day. And I want to look at a passage for a moment this morning that I think will be really encouraging as we look at what does it mean to us to be people that are brave. It's found in the book of Philippians. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Philippians 4. And Paul is writing a letter to the church in Philippi. And this is what he says at the end of verse 5. It's up on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you and you can follow along. But Paul starts by saying, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Let's pause even just right there and breathe that in. It's like that song that we just sang. It's your breath in our lungs. God is so near, so present. In fact, the presence of God is always present. The presence of God is always present. So often we are the ones that are not present to his presence. But he's always present. And Paul goes on and says, so because the Lord is near, do not be anxious about what? What is the word there? Anything. My gosh, Paul, you're getting quite extreme with your language here, right? Don't be anxious about anything. Anything? I mean, surely Paul didn't mean to say anything. I mean, he's just getting caught up in the moment, right? He's just getting caught up in this passionate letter to the church at Philippi. You know, he's this prolific and passionate writer. So clearly, he didn't mean to say anything. I mean, Paul, what about the anxiety that comes through our own internal fears? Or what about this crazy world that we live in, God? We're not supposed to be anxious about anything? What about all of those expectations that are on us, or even the expectations that we place on ourselves? God, we're not supposed to be anxious about any of that. And he goes on and he says, but in every situation. I mean, he doubles down on the extreme language here, doesn't he? Every situation. I mean, surely there are some situations that are like deserving of anxiety, right? I mean, surely there are things that we experience in this world that are going to produce some anxiety. I mean, was Paul ever a Cubs fan and then came into Cardinal country? I was a little anxious getting off the plane last night, right? You know, and knowing that we're playing one another right now, right? And you beat us yesterday. So, you know, I mean, there are things that make us anxious. I mean, did Paul ever have a toddler? Did he ever have a teenager, right? Some of my friends have said Paul clearly never had to get onto a dating app. If he would have got onto a dating app, he would have had some anxiety, right? Surely there are things that cause us anxiety, and yet Paul is saying, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation. He goes on and he says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Present your request to God. So he says, don't be anxious about a thing. In every situation you find yourself in, be thankful. And part of me almost is like, well, Paul, I mean, are you just trying to be like Mr. Bible guy? It's like, just trust in the Lord and everything will be okay. I mean, is that just what you're saying here? That's just how we should go through life? Because Paul, there are some things in life that are really hard, right? There are some things in life, some mountains we face, some difficulties that we endure. And friends, I don't think that's what Paul is saying at all, because what we need to understand here is the context for where Paul is writing this letter to the church in Philippi. See, Paul is writing this letter while he is in prison. His very context is a challenge. He's behind bars because of his faith. So I don't think Paul is saying to us, you know, just trust in the Lord and you'll be okay. I think Paul is saying that it is through prayer and petition, it is through thanksgiving that you can actually come before the Lord. You see, I think what happens is so often we start with anxiety instead of appreciation. We come to God first with our anxiety instead of coming to God first with our appreciation. We get overwhelmed with our circumstances instead of allowing ourselves to be overwhelmed by the presence of God. We end up looking out there at all of life's challenges that are in front of us instead of looking in here to the fact that the Holy Spirit has actually deposited courage to live inside of us. And we become overwhelmed with everything that is out there in life, and we forget that the Spirit dwells inside of here. You see, what's true about you and what's true about me is that bravery is not some hide-and-seek game. It's not hiding out there for us to go and find it. Bravery isn't under a rock for you to just flip it over and be like, oh, cool, I found bravery, and now I'm going to be brave the rest of my life. Bravery has been deposited inside of you. You see, clarity is actually outside of us, but courage is inside of us. Clarity is that thing that we ask for from God and say, God, would you just tell me all these things that are outside of me that are going on? Would you just give me clarity for them? But God is saying, I've already put courage inside of you for whatever comes your way. You have courage deposited inside of you. And Paul says that it is with thanksgiving. It is with the recognition of the gift of Jesus. Jesus who was died, buried, and resurrected, who lives inside of us. And the gift of the Holy Spirit has deposited courage for us to live with. And Paul goes on and he says, and so therefore then, the peace of God, who needs some peace in their life? I do. I do. I need the peace of God in my life. And that peace of God, it will transcend all understanding. It will transcend any mountain that is in your life. And so often, what we want to do is say, well, God, just give me some understanding for these mountains that are in my life. Would you just give me some understanding for these challenges that are here in my life? Would you just give me some understanding as to why it is that I can have a hairbrush concert in the morning and 10 minutes later, I feel like I am literally walking through the valley of death? And God is saying, my peace through Jesus lives inside of you, and it gives you courage to face whatever mountain may come your way. You see, the fascinating thing to me about clarity and courage is that they're actually both looking in the same direction. Clarity and courage are both looking in the same direction. The difference is what they focus on. The difference is what they focus on. Clarity is looking out at the terrain and saying, okay, how do I walk through this? But courage is looking out at the terrain and saying, I'm going to walk through this. Clarity looks and says, hey, there's a mountain. How am I going to get up that mountain? But courage looks out and says, I'm going to climb that mountain. I'm going to climb that mountain. And clarity helps you see the mountain, but courage is what helps you climb it. And I believe that our world is hungry to look out at a church, to look out at followers of Jesus that say, I'm not sure how, but I know I will. I know I will climb this mountain that is in my life because Jesus is with me. And I know that some of you here today, you're looking out at mountains that are so high. You're not just looking at one mountain, you're looking at two and three and four mountains. Some of you today are like, girl, if you only knew, I live in the Swiss Alps. Like, that's my life. You're not in your bathroom each morning singing, this is me. You're in your bathroom each morning and you are singing, climb every mountain, right? Yeah, you're going back to Sound of Music. Now, every single service I've had to say this. That is funnier than any joke Jared has told when he came here, right? You got it, Sound of Music, right? But you're going into your day and you're looking out and you're like, God, I don't even know how. I don't even know if I can. I don't even know if I believe that much courage lives inside of me. And I get it. Because I have been walking through a year that has been filled with mountains. And if I were to be honest, if I were to be the solo writer of my story, if I was the only one writing the plot lines of my life, I would put myself in a very flat Midwest terrain. But my life this last year has included many, many challenging moments, many, many mountains. And as I've been walking these mountains, God has revealed a few things to me that are essential to be everyday brave. The first is that you have to own your story when you are walking through a terrain of mountains. When you are walking through a challenging season, you have to own your story. It is so tempting for us, especially in a social media age, to look out at the life of everybody else's highlight reel and compare our lowlight reel to their highlight reel. And to bury ourselves in comparison. And we have to be willing, if we are going to be everyday brave, to own our unique story. You have a unique story that only you can live. And as you live out your unique story, God reveals more and more of his glory. So to be everyday brave, you have to own your story. I love what Maya Angelou says. She says, there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside us. You have a story to tell. And while you may want to change part of that story, and you may not have written the story this way, what I know to be true about God is he doesn't waste a thing. He's the ultimate recycler. He redeems all things. And you have a story that needs to be told. And to be everyday brave, you have to own your story. The second thing is that you have to be willing to own your strength. This last year, as I have been scaling different mountains in my own life, God just gave me a passage to give me hope and to rest in. And it's found in Proverbs 31:25. I love this passage. It says, "She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come." She can even laugh at the mountains that are in front of you, not necessarily playing light to the difficulties, not necessarily playing small to the challenges, but because we are clothed in strength and dignity, we can actually look out at the mountains in our life and say, "I'm going to climb that. I'm not sure how. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I am going to climb that because Jesus Christ has put strength inside of me. I'm clothed in strength and dignity, and therefore I can even laugh at the days to come." Can you imagine if the world looked out at a church like that, friends? Do you think they would see something different in us? You think they would see a light in us? So you have to be willing to own your strength. The third thing that I have learned to be everyday brave is that you have to be willing to own your seat. You have to be willing to own your seat. You see, bravery, to be brave every day, does not mean that you won't have fear. Bravery is not the absence of fear. It is the perseverance to keep going in spite of the fear. You see, there has never been a person on planet Earth that has been brave and didn't feel fear. You will feel fear. You will experience fear even when you are having to exercise bravery. But what's important is that you own your seat. And every time we give the steering wheel of our life over to fear, we're not in the right seat. You see, here's the thing about fear. Fear doesn't know how to stay on the road. Fear will always drive you off the cliff. And so what we need to be reminded is that the best person at the steering wheel is Jesus. Is Jesus. Bravery never gives fear the wheel. The brave person always says, "Jesus, you have the wheel of my life, and my seat is as the co-pilot." So the third thing is to own your seat. And then the last that I have been learning in owning your bravery every day is that you have to be willing to own your surrender. You have to be willing to own your surrender. And all of this, all of life ultimately, starts with us surrendering solely and wholly to Jesus. And I wonder today, I wonder, what are you surrendered to in your life? Is it to others? Is it to being successful? Is it perhaps finding significance in what you do? Is it in what people say about you? Is that what you're surrendered to? Is that what is driving your life? Because ultimately, to be everyday brave, we have to be completely surrendered to Jesus. And nothing, nothing in this world has brought me peace and bravery like being surrendered to Jesus. You know, sometimes you find yourself in those life situations where you see bravery on display in a way that you never went looking for it. And I think oftentimes we tend to think about bravery as somebody that has, you know, accomplished something big, or they've done something daring, or they set out on some kind of trek and they accomplished it, and we call that person brave. And this last year, I had an experience where I saw bravery like never before. I saw a courage that had been deposited inside and was put on display. We have some dear friends. He and his wife have pastored a church in Iowa for a number of years, over 30 years he's pastored this church, and they have four boys, and they're all grown now, and their youngest son was living away from home and called his parents and said, guys, I'm not feeling good. I've been struggling with my health. The doctors aren't sure what's wrong with me. I think I need to move home for a while. And so he did. He moved back home. And over a few days, he continued to really struggle with his health significantly, and finally came to his parents and just said, he's in his mid-20s, and he said, I need to go to the hospital. I am feeling so awful and terrible, and he couldn't keep food down, and just really, really sick. And so they took him to the hospital, and they ran a bunch of tests, and it was revealed that he had been living with a disease that he didn't know about, and the disease was attacking his organs, and he was in full-blown liver failure. His mid-20s. And they said, if you don't get a liver, if you don't get a liver transplant, there's no way that you will be able to live. And so quickly, they got his name on the liver transplant list, and all of us began praying and pleading and asking God for a miracle. God, please get a liver to Kirk. And I remember getting a message from their oldest brother, Kyle, and saying, Kirk got a liver. They've identified a match, and they're going to be flying it to him, and we need to pray that his numbers stay up so that his body can receive this liver. But he was declining so quickly that he fell below the numbers, and his body just wouldn't be able to receive this liver. So to go to the heights of hope and possibility, to the depths, as this family stood around their son, who they had just welcomed back home, just a week earlier, and they had to welcome him into the home of Jesus as he passed. And so, of course, Jarrett and I and our kids, jumped in the car and drove to be with them and to be at this funeral. And Kevin and his wife, Lane, who've pastored this church faithfully for 30-plus years, stood at the front of their own church over the casket of their own son. And I listened as Kevin found himself in a terrain of mountains that he would have never chosen. He would have never chosen this path. And as he looked out at all of us, he said, in this world, we will have trouble. We will have trouble. We will have heartache. We will have difficulty. We will have losses that we didn't hope for. There will be sickness that we didn't plan. There will be trouble. The path will not always be clear. But Jesus has promised, and he has given through the gift of his Holy Spirit, courage to live inside of us, to walk whatever path is in front of us. And I know that some of you are looking out at a terrain in your life. You are looking at a set of mountains that you think, I have no idea how I am going to climb those. And you're so tempted to just pray for clarity. But might I implore you today to start praying that God would awaken the courage inside of you, so that whatever path you find yourself on, you know that you can walk with him. As I mentioned, I have walked through my own set of mountains this last year. Mountains that I would not have chosen for myself. And I had this experience earlier this year. A dear friend of ours went to nursing school, and she invited us to go and be a part of the graduation ceremony. And some of you may be nurses here, or you've attended a ceremony like that. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. You know, they do this graduation ceremony, pomp and circumstance, just like, you know, all graduation ceremonies. But one of the things that's so cool, at the end of a nurse's graduation, they do what's called a pinning ceremony. And you may have heard about this, but every nurse is pinned with this special pin to remind him or her that they have been welcomed into a community. They've been welcomed into a profession and into a career that now cares for others. And I was watching this pinning ceremony, and it was so powerful to watch. And I came home, and I thought, I need myself a pinning ceremony. I need to pin myself with bravery. I need to decide that it lives inside of me. And so I ordered these pins, and I ordered a whole bunch of them because I'm forgetful and I lose them often. And it just says, everyday brave. And I carry one on my bag now. I carry one on a piece of clothing everywhere that I go, so that I can remind myself that I am everyday brave. Brave, not because of anything that I have done, not because I am some optimist in this world, not because I'm great at tackling things that are difficult. I am brave because of Jesus Christ, who lives and breathes inside of me. That is why I am brave. That is why you are brave. Because if you are in relationship with Jesus, you have bravery that lives inside of you through his Holy Spirit. And I know that there are some of you here today that need to be reminded of that. I had a woman come up to me last night, and she said, I think I'm going to go home and I'm going to find a pin. It might just be a safety pin, but I'm going to have my own pinning ceremony. And I'm going to pin some bravery on myself. And some of you may need to go home and do the same. I want to invite you to stand, and I want to pray for you as we close our time today. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to invite you to open up your hands. This is how we pray as Soul City Church. We pray with open hands because it reveals that we're expectant of God moving. We're expectant of the Holy Spirit to do something inside of us. And if you find yourself here today at any of our campuses or in the overflow room or here in this auditorium now, and you are just saying, I need the courage of Jesus. Would you just put up your hands so I can see you, so that I can pray for you? Yeah. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. I need that same courage in my life. And Jesus, we come before you, and I lift my friends here and in all of the campuses and in our overflow room, God, that are in faith saying, we need your courage. We need your bravery. We need to be reminded that you are the ever-present help in times of struggle. That God, you will give us what we need so that we can take heart and know that you have overcome. You have overcome every challenge, every trial, every difficulty, every mountain that we are facing. And so, Jesus, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit over this room and every other campus and room through the Crossing Church today, God. I ask, Jesus, that you would raise us up. Remind us that you are good, that you are faithful, that your love endures. And I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you, Crossing Church, for inviting me to be with you. Always so good, and may God bless your Sunday. We love you. Take care.